You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Last Friday, I gave you the update as to what was happening in terms of the government shutdown and Obamacare. And as I was on the air, a couple of things happened. One is there was a procedural vote to close off debate, cloture, and 25 Republicans voted with the Democrats. So there were 79 votes for cloture, which cuts off the debate, which means the Democratic Party needed only 50 votes to rebut, if you will, send back to the House, which they did, a continuing resolution that was clean. It would continue the spending for November 15th, which is less than what the Republican Party's continuing resolution in the House was. That actually goes for 11 weeks through December 15th. So there's a difference in terms of how long they would keep the government open. But the biggest thing is they restored the funding for Obamacare. In other words, the Senate, which is controlled by the Democratic Party, and keep in mind you have about 54 senators that are Democrats that vote Democratic, and you have 46 senators that are Republicans. So the majority in the Senate is the Democratic Party. They control the Senate, and they voted along party lines to restore Obamacare funding. No surprise there. What was a little bit surprising and frankly very annoying is that only 19 Republicans backed Ted Cruz and voted against cloture or against cutting off the debate, and 25 Republicans voted against Ted Cruz and with the Democrats. And that was largely the leadership in the Republican Party in the Senate. So my advice to independents, Tea Party movement people, conservatives, libertarians is simple. Make a list of those 25 senators and find somebody to run against them in the primaries. And that's not going to be easy, because when you're dealing with people that have been in the Senate 2, 3, in some cases 4 terms, or in leadership positions, it's very difficult to get an incumbent out of office. Now, it happens. Ask Senator Richard Lugar. It happened to him, and there are other people, both Democrats and Republicans, that have found lightning does strike and it can strike them. And what I'm recommending all Republicans to do, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm very much an independent, and I believe in a representative republic, a constitutional government. As far as I'm concerned, the most portions of the Constitution have been shredded today. We still have a representative republic, what's left of it, but large portions of the Constitution are simply ignored. The federal government is doing activities that it should never get involved in, and Obamacare is just one of them, but there are a lot more. So we need somebody, and I don't know who, and go down the list, get the list of the 25 Republicans that voted for cloture, and that includes Senator Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. Now, a lot of these Republicans, what they're going to say to you is, we have high ratings in terms of being a conservative. That might be the case, and in many cases that is true. Some might even have 100% ratings. These are organizations that will look at votes, key votes, and based on that you get a rating, and you have both conservative organizations rating Republicans and Democrats, as well as liberal organizations rating Democrats and Republicans. What usually is not factored in those ratings or procedural votes like this, it's really votes on major legislation. And the reason why I'm saying this, Senator Cruz, the junior senator from Texas, was telling the truth The American people are hurting. Obamacare is hurting American people in terms of getting jobs. Because what employers are doing to protect themselves is, to the extent they're hiring at all, they're hiring people that will work part-time in less than 30 hours a week. They're working 29 hours or less, and most people that truly want a permanent full-time job simply cannot find it, so they're taking part-time jobs to put meals on their table, have a roof over their head, out of economic necessity, assuming they can find it. Now, the problem is young people, 18 to 29, and that's what I'm considering young, are having difficulties finding jobs, and that's across the nations. We've had teenage unemployment, which is just one indicator of this, has been over 20% every month President Obama has been in office. It's gotten as high as 25%. I don't know the next, well, if the government shuts down, we won't be getting the unemployment report this Friday. But I'm willing to bet that the unemployment rate for teenagers is about 22-23%. And that's quite high. Typically, historically, it's in the low teens, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14%. So it's quite high in historical terms. And the young, it's primarily high school and college dropouts as well as graduates can't find jobs. Now, yeah, there are jobs out there, and yes, some young people find jobs. That's not the point. There are millions and millions of college and high school students that simply cannot find work. Forget about full-time work. They can't even find part-time work. And many people, and it's affecting everybody, because the most of the hiring, the net hiring that's happening in the economy today is for part-timers. It's about 2 out of 3 jobs are part-time jobs. They're not full-time jobs. And that's a ballpark figure. It's actually higher, that more of the jobs being created this year are part-time jobs. That's not a normal situation. The usual situation is, yes, you're still going to have people hired part-time, but those are primarily people that want to work part-time. The problem today, there are two problems. We have a government that is simply out of control in terms of government spending. And I was studying the numbers of the monthly Treasury statement. The most recent one, and this is through August, so this was the September report. We have to wait to October 10th at the earliest to get the numbers for the fiscal year. But I'm going to round off right now. I believe government spending through fiscal year 2013 will probably be right at $3.5 trillion. That's $3,500 billion. Now, that's a ballpark figure, but I'm very, very close. And it looks like that government tax revenues will be around 2.5, 2.6. I'm going to call it 2.6. So that, you know, you can do the math. The government is spending $3.5 trillion. It will get in tax collections about 2.6. So we're going to have a budget deficit for 2013 right around $900 billion. Now, that's an improvement from last year and previous years. Remember, starting in fiscal year 2009, we had a $1.4 trillion deficit. 2010, it was $1.3. 2011, it was a little under 1.3. 2012, it was slightly under 1.1 trillion. And it looks like for fiscal year 2013, that ends at midnight tonight, we will probably have a deficit of right around $900 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, that works out to, if you average those 5 years, of a deficit of over $1.1 trillion every year. $1.1 trillion. And if you multiply by 5, that means we've added to the national debt over $5.5 trillion. If you go from fiscal year 2009, 10, 11, 12, and 13. That's 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 for 5 years. And the actual number probably be closer to $6 trillion. But it's definitely going to be about 5.5, 5.6, and it could actually be over $6 trillion. So President Obama is the $6 trillion man, the $6 trillion man. There's only one problem with that. The debt just gets higher and higher and higher. And again, it's that time of the year when we have to increase the national debt ceiling because we're bumping our head right above it. We'll go over that ceiling, according to the Treasury Secretary, right around the middle to late October. The date I've heard is 17 October is the magic date when we're right at the ceiling. You see, right now the federal government has to borrow for every dollar it spends. It has to borrow one out of the $3. Roughly 33% of all government spending today is being financed by debt. Now, the good news is it got as high as 40%. So we've had a slight decline, but we can't be running these massive deficits. You see, the way the system is set up, the federal government, unlike you, me, your family, any business, we have to budget to our income or our revenues, if you're a business, our sales revenues. And so do city, county, and state governments. They have to budget to estimated tax collections. They can't run deficits. They have to have balanced budget. That is the prudent thing to do. And it is simple as that. Prudence dictates that over a period of time, you have balanced budgets. Now, occasionally you're going to have a little surplus, and occasionally you might have a deficit. But individual budgets, family budget, business budgets, college, school budgets, charities, churches, and other nonprofit organizations, as well as all government, local government in terms of school districts, cities, counties, state, all must balance the budget. That's the way the real world works. And it's called fiscal responsibility. And that is what is really lacking from the federal government. Both parties, but mainly the Democratic Party, are in deep denial about this. Really deep denial. They have overspent. They have overreached. And remember, the Democratic Party controlled both the House and the Senate starting in 2007, 2008, 2009, when they also captured the presidency, and 2010. And what did they do? They went on a spending spree. And that's when you've had these massive deficits. Starting in 2009 with $1.4 trillion, and 2010 with $1.3 trillion. That was unprecedented. That was more than nearly three times the worst deficit that George Bush had in his last fiscal year. But remember, the House and the Senate were controlled by the Democrats. And Bush had a deficit in his last fiscal year in office. Remember, he left in January, so we're talking fiscal year 29, and that's where we had that massive increase. The year prior to that, though, in fiscal year 2008, it was at $459 billion. And some people, at the time that he had that deficit, the news was saying, was pointing out, this is terrible. This is unprecedented. We can't keep doing that. Yet what happened? When the Democrats took over the White House, they already had control of the House and the Senate. They went crazy. They increased the budgets of all the federal departments and then added a stimulus package and then passed Obamacare. And as a result, the federal budget went over $3.5 trillion. Now, this was in the middle of a recession. The recession lasted from... It started in December of 2007, and it lasted through June of 2009. Got to keep that in mind. But starting in July of 2009, the economy started to positively grow again. So we were coming out of a recession. We were in a so-called expansionary period or a recovery period where you had positive growth in the real GDP, which is good. And then the actual employment situation bottomed out in December of 2009. And from there, we've had positive growth in terms of the number of people that are employed. However, we are still, as I speak, below the highest level of employment in the United States, which was in November of 2007. And we're 2 months away from being on the sixth anniversary, and we're still over 2 million people less are working. In other words, the economic policies of the Democratic Party, with their massive government spending, has not been able to get back to the employment level that we had in November of 2007, 6 years ago. We're still over 2 million jobs short. That's problem number one. But from November of 2007, continuing today, every month we've had students, high school and college, graduating or dropping out looking for jobs. And to keep up with that population growth, the growth in the labor force, you need approximately 150,000 jobs a month. Now, you'll get a range. Some people will say it's somewhere between 130,000 and 140,000. My estimate, we need about 150,000 because I'm assuming a civilian labor participation rate of approximately 66%. Normally, it's between 66% and 67%. The problem is more and more Americans are dropping out of the labor force because they can't find jobs, neither full-time nor part-time. The labor participation rate is at 16. Last time I checked, it's at 16.5%. Percent. I might be a tenth of a percent off, but that is the lowest in over 39 years. And so even though the unemployment rate has gone down slightly, it's not because more people are working. It's definitely not because more people are working. It is because people have left the labor force. They want a job. They truly want a job, they're ready, willing, and able, but they have not been able to find it. And what happens is, for a short period of time, they become so discouraged that they stop looking. And the reason why they stop looking, they've sent out hundreds of resumes, they've been looking for months, in some cases years, and have been unable to find either a full-time or a part-time job. And that's millions of Americans. Part of the reason, not the entire reason, but part of the reason is that one of the things that the Democratic Party did is pass Obamacare. That goes into effect January 1st. January 1st, if you're not covered by an employer plan, health insurance plan, you have to buy your own individual plan. That's called the individual mandate. And starting tomorrow, these health exchanges, and all exchanges, you can go there and you can shop for a plan with the company that you want. You'll have various insurance companies. They will have these what are called metal plans. They're the bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and their charts online. You can get an idea in terms of what are the deductibles for each plan, what are the out-of-pockets for each plan, which plans are subsidized. There's really only one, the silver. If you elect a gold or platinum, they are not subsidized. If you elect the cheapest one, which is the bronze, it has the highest deductible of $5,000 for medical and drugs. Yeah, it's the cheapest. I used to sell group as well as individual health insurance. because I have a good handle as how they work. Now, you really have to read the language. And I always caution people, listen, until I've sat down and actually read what you get, and that's not easy to do. You have to know what you're looking at and what to look for. Because you might have an excellent plan that, let's say you're paying $200, $250 a month. Let's say it's an individual plan. So you're probably going to get a letter, if you haven't gotten it already, that we're canceling your plan. As of a certain date, usually it's the renewal date of your plan or the end of this year, whatever company you're with will notify you that we're no longer selling this plan. We legally cannot sell you this plan. So we're terminating it. So you can't keep your existing plan. Remember, President Obama said you can keep your existing plan. Well, no, you can't. You can't, because all plans starting in 1 January must comply with the regulations set forth by the federal government, and they have these four plans that you can buy. And you're going to have to shop for it, which is fine, but the problem is, I just looked at it. Where people are going to be trapped is, I know how people, especially if money is tight, you're going to go to the cheapest plan, which is the bronze, plan. The first thing you need to know is you're not entitled to any subsidies. And the reason why that's important, you probably have heard, depending on your income, and roughly, if you're making over $12,000 to about $45,000, I'm really ballparking it here, folks. You really have to look at it. You're eligible for a certain degree of subsidies, and the government will reimburse you. The problem is, if you make less, you have to be on Medicaid. If you're below the poverty line, you qualify for Medicaid, so you don't have to buy a plan. But good luck with Medicaid, because many, many doctors simply won't take Medicaid patients. There's some that do, and you're going to have to look for them, and you're stuck with them. But let's say you are making roughly a little above $12,000 to $45,000, you'll get a sliding scale subsidies. Obviously, if you're low end, you'll get more of a subsidies when you get towards the $45,000 level in terms of income. You're going to get little or no subsidies. It's a sliding scale, and it's a function of how much money you work. Now, I'm getting into this because there are certain things you need to be alerted to. Let's say money's tight, you need to get something, and you decide, well, I'm going to get the bronze plan. Well, you got to realize you have an out-of-pocket, or you have a deductible, of $5,000. You have to pay the first $5,000. So, yes, you have insurance. And it's the cheapest plan. But you're probably not aware of the fact that you're going to have to pay the first $5,000. Now, this is what is in the industry called a schedule plan. For example, what does that mean? You have to pay the first $60. Well, let me back up. They will pay $60 for a doctor's visit. Oh, isn't that terrific? Not really, because let me just tell you something. In Dallas, Texas, it's going to vary from city to city, state to state. For you to go to a doctor for a visit, you probably will be paying over $100. $125, $150. It depends who your doctor is and why you go to them. So a doctor visit, yeah, the government pays the first $60. Isn't that wonderful? Guess who pays the rest? You do. So let's keep it easy. Let's say it's not high or low, but you got to pay $120. $60 you're going to have to pay for it. And that goes towards your deductible of $5,000. Now let's say you're one of these people that every year you got to go to the doctor every month. So you're going to pay $60 times 12. $60 times 12. And let's say you need a hospital stay. You're going to have to pay for that. Remember, you're on the hook for the first $5,000. Yes, the government will make, depending on the type of service, will make some payment, but the rest is yours. You're going to have to pay the lion's share of it. So, yes, you do have some coverage that you're required to buy. You're probably saying to yourself, well, I don't like that plan. I don't like this $5,000 out of pocket. I want a lower deductible. I want a sharing range like 80-20. And the worst out of pocket I really want is $1,000. I'm not happy about $1,000, but that's the most I can truly afford. Out of pocket is $1,000. I can't afford $5,000. See, when I was in the business, I would tell people, get the highest deductible you can, whether that's $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. Now, how do you determine what you can do is, can you write a check for $5,000? And if the answer is, yes, I can, then probably a $5,000 deductible is the plan to go with. But most, with the exception of the owners, most employees simply cannot write that check. That's why they want the out-of-pocket to be around $1,000 or less. So you typically would have a deductible, like you pay the first $250 or $500. That's for the small stuff, like the dollars visit. And after that, you pay 80-20, where you pay 20% up to $5,000. In other words, the max out-of-pocket you would pay would be 20% of $5,000 or $1,000. And that's the way most group plans work. You have a deductible. At one time, they were $100, $250, $500, $1,000, $2,500. It depended on what the employer wanted that deductible to be. The advantage of the higher deductible is the premium is lower. The problem you get into, a lot of your employees want lower deductibles and lower out-of-pockets. And let's keep it simple. Let's say the previous plan, you paid the first $500, and then you paid 20% up to $5,000. So the max out-of-pocket you would be $1,500. That's a fairly typical plan, common plan that employers have. Some cases, instead of being 20% to $5,000, it's 20% to $10,000. But I'm trying to keep it simple. Well, with the bronze plan, it's very clear your out of pocket is $5,000. And yes, it does have a schedule of what the government will reimburse for certain services, such as a doctor, and it's $60. Anything above $60, you have to pay for. You have to pay for. That could be $40. That could be $90. It could be $100. It's going to be a function of what your doctor's charge. What doctor you go to and why you go there. You know, it's one thing if it's for a routine physical. It's something else if it's a treatment for a condition or a procedure that he has to perform. And obviously, in some instances, you're going to have to go to the hospital. And you're going to run up a bill. Well, you're on the hook for $5,000. Most people are not going to be happy with that plan for that reason alone. They're also not going to be happy with the plan because if you read the fine print, that plan, the bronze plan, the cheapest plan, is not eligible for any subsidies. My quick analysis of these so-called metal plans, the Obama metal plans, is they're trying to force you into the silver plan. there are obviously no subsidies for the gold or the platinum. They're going to be more expensive. They're better plans, but they're going to be more expensive because they cover more and they have lower out-of-pockets. They're very much better plans, but because they cost more, the people that are going to buy it are people that can afford those plans. If you have the money, you should be definitely getting the gold or platinum, and I would say the platinum plan, but that's up to you. But if that's the route you go, you won't be eligible for any subsidies. The only plan that's eligible for any subsidies is the so-called silver plan. Now, I'm just touching the surface on this, but I want to alert you that starting tomorrow, if you don't have health insurance, especially if you're young, but if you don't have health insurance through your employer, you are required by federal law to purchase an individual plan, one of these metal plans, starting in 1 January. Now, if you don't, you have to pay a tax penalty. That initially is very small, but quickly rises up. There's a lot of people out there that think they're going to get free health insurance. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no free lunch, and there's no free health insurance. Yes, the very poor, the indigent, are eligible for Medicaid. Why? Because they earn so few dollars. They're, you know, that's below $12,000, actually less than that. And if you fall into that situation, yeah, you qualify for, if you're an individual, you qualify for Medicaid. The problem you have, and you can fill out the paperwork, but then go try to find a doctor that will treat you. There are some. I'm not saying there are none, but they're not the best doctors. Because most doctors today, like any professional service, you only have so many hours in a week that you can and will work. Now, most doctors, you know, the typical, if you work 50 weeks a year and you work 40 hours, that's 2,000 hours. Most doctors work more than 2,000 hours. They work 2,500, maybe even 3,000. They're putting in more than an eight-hour day, and you can do the math. So they're probably working 2,500 hours. Now, if you're in a business and they own the business, who do you want as customers? People that can pay the whole bill. That can pay the whole bill. And yes, most of them have insurance, but the insurance only covers part of the bill. You want people that can, that have the money and have a good plan, a good insurance plan, and can pay the whole bill. They don't want people that are poor, that are on Medicaid. And because they only have a limited number of hours, guess what? They make it very clear to their receptionist, we don't take Medicaid. You'll see signs, we don't take Medicaid. In other words, very politely, get lost. Now, there are some doctors that will. That's their decision. But if I'm really sick and have a medical condition, I want to go to the best doctors that I can afford. And they're not the ones that accept Medicaid. They're not. There's these doctors, they only can see so many patients in an hour, in a day, in a week, in a month. And over a year, depending on how many hours they want to work, typically it's somewhere between 2,000 hours to 3,000 hours. It's up to them. But they only want to see patients that can pay, that have insurance, but also can pay. Now, if you have the money, you don't have insurance, but you can write the check. Yeah, if you want to pay cash, they'll see you, definitely. But they're not going to see people that come hat in hand saying, do you take Medicaid? Because the answer for many doctors, I would even say most doctors, is no, I don't. Go down to wherever and see if they'll take you. And if you go there, first thing you're going to find is their lines. Because why? Because the government is not paying what it pays or reimburses those doctors is less than what's called reasonable and customary charges. And see that in good insurance policies, that's the language. We pay reasonable and customary charges of doctors. So if the doctor, let's say reasonable and customary for a doctor's visit in Dallas, Texas, is $125, they will pay that. Not in a scheduled plan. What the scheduled plan says, and there are other poorer plans, and they're out there right now. But this government plan, yeah, we'll pay $60. And you're going, well, whoopee, they're going to pay $60. Well, you're in a surprise, because when you go to the doctor, if you have a good doctor, he's going to write the bill for, again, let's use the example of $120. You're going to have to write him a check for the balance, $60. And you may not have the money. You think, oh, well, I got coverage. I have the bronze plan, Obama's bronze plan. I got free insurance. No, you don't. You absolutely do not. You're responsible for $5,000 deductible. $5,000 deductible. So, yes, they'll pay part of your doctor's visit. They'll pay part of a specialist visit, but only part. The rest you're on the hook for. And most people simply cannot pay $5,000 out of pocket. They cannot pay $5,000 out of pocket. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the cheapest plan. Now, what did President Obama promise? You can keep your current plan. That was a lie. And two, you're going to pay less money. Not true, because money is how much you have to pay for these services. Yeah, you'll have a little card that says, I have a bronze plan from XYZ Insurance Company. Whoop-dee-doo. And I'll tell you what the doctor's office, the person at the desk will say. Well, we charge whatever the rate is, and you're going to have to write a check. The government will file with your insurance company, and we'll get $60 according to your plan. They'll know that in advance. But if you want to see the doctor, you'll have to write a check for $60. And you will have to write a check, or you probably won't be able to see the doctor. Yeah, I got an insurance, but I have an insurance card, and Obamacare is supposed to be free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You're going to have to pay that. And if you have a medical procedure that's expensive, you're on the hook for $4,000 or $5,000. Yeah, the insurance is going to pay some of that. Let's say the first $10,000 is going to pay some of that, but the lion's share of your immediate health insurance expenses, both hospital and doctor, you're on the hook for $5,000. And the reason why I'm hammering that point is most people today are covered under their group employer's plan. And you're usually have a deductible $250, $500, or $1,000. And that's what you have to pay up front. Then there's usually a sharing range, like 80% the insurance company pays, 20% you pay. And that's typically of the next $5,000. So your max out-of-pocket is the deductible, whatever your company deductible is, plus 20% of whatever, usually $5,000. So you do the math. Let's say you have a $500 deductible plan. You pay the first $500, and then you pay 20% of the next $5,000. So you pay the $500 deductible and a $1,000 copay, 20%. So you're out of pocket for the first $5,500, $1,500. The $500 deductible and the $1,000, which is 20% of $5,000. The rest the insurance company pays. That is a fairly typical plan. Some of you will have lower deductibles. Some of you will have higher deductibles. Usually it's 80-20. Some plans are 70-30. And then the other thing you have to look at is of what dollar amount. Some might be $2,500. Some might be $5,000. Some could be as high as $10,000. All of those, let's look at a $10,000. That's a rather high. You'd be responsible for the first $500 deductible and then 20% of the first $10,000, which is $2,000. So you'd be out of pocket for the first $2,500. That's less than the government's cheapest plan of $5,000. I hope you're following with me. Because some people are saying, well, he promised us cheaper insurance and he's giving us cheaper insurance. Don't be fooled by the monthly premium you're paying. And I'm not sure it's going to be less. It might be higher and probably will be higher than you're paying today. Even with the, with as far as I'm concerned, the worst plan. But let's say it's not. Let's say it's a little bit cheaper. You're still going to be on the hook for those $5,000. And you got to understand that. Now, I'm just touching the surface. I'm not trying to sell you insurance. I'm just alerting you to the fact that starting tomorrow, you can go shop online and start to get educated. Because if you haven't gotten a letter yet, you will be getting a letter from your insurance company, assuming you have insurance, that your existing plan will be terminated. We're no longer offering your current plan. And what the insurance company will typically do is say, however, if you're interested, here is what we think is a comparable plan. And they're going to show you either the bronze, the silver, the gold, or the platinum. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have sticker shock because the comparable plan will be significantly higher than what you're paying today. And then you're going to ask yourself the question, I don't want this. I didn't vote for this. No one asked me about this. I was happy with what I had. You either were happy or satisfied with your employer's plan, and if you didn't have coverage through your employer, you bought an individual plan on your own, and most people, over 85% of the people out there, were completely satisfied with their medical coverage. And now what they're finding out that they were lied to. They can't keep their own plan. They can't keep it. They probably cannot keep their own doctor. And it's not going to cost them less money. It's going to cost them more money for a comparable plan, assuming they can even come close to it. And what most people are going to find out is they can't afford a comparable plan. And even if they could, there's no subsidies for it. Because only the silver plan is subsidized. Neither the cheapest nor more expensive plans are subsidized at all. They're trying to force you to buy the silver plan. Now, here's what's really sad. The dirty secret about Obamacare, what it's all about is to force young people from 18 to 29 to buy coverage. Because that is the most uninsured group. Because most of the people in that age group don't want to spend their money on health insurance because they have little or no medical bills. And they know it. They're young. They think they can live forever. And I'm not recommending you don't have health insurance. I would recommend it. But young people want to spend their money on what they want to spend their money on. It could be a new car. It could be a vacation. It could be college education. It could be starting a business. It could be buying a new computer system. They'd rather spend their money on that. They don't want to spend their money on health insurance. That's why the vast majority of uninsured are young. Not everybody, but most people that are uninsured are either between jobs or they're young. And what Obamacare tries to do is to force young people to get health insurance. Initially, the penalty is low, but it quickly goes up. What I suspect is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is most young people aren't going to buy it. They're going to get educated real quick and find out, I'm not getting free Obamacare. I thought this was free, and it's not free. I got to pay money for this. I'm lucky I have a part-time job, and I have to pay money for this. Woe is me. Yeah, woe is me. You put the guy in office. Not all of you, but many of you did. You thought you were going to get free health insurance. You were lied to. It's not free. It's going to cost you. That was the deals that they were cutting in the back rooms. The Democratic Party was cutting in the back rooms with these big insurance companies. And why do they want the young people to be forced to buy health insurance? Because there are going to be very few claims, not zero, but in terms of percentage of claims, in terms of dollars, young people are usually not sick. Yeah, occasionally you're going to have an automobile accident or break your leg, but it's small stuff usually. Most people that age, just think about it, seldom see a doctor, have a need to see a doctor. So the young people are subsidizing. Who are they subsidizing? People with pre-existing conditions that can't get insurance. They can get it, but they can't afford it. As well as older people that have medical conditions that result in claims. So it is the young subsidizing the sick and the elderly. That's what it's all about, folks. So what I think the young people are going to do over the next several years is revolt. They're not going to buy it. And that is the big fear of Obamacare, the big fear of the White House. That's why they want to promote this to you. So you're going to be forced to buy it, by law, be forced to buy it, something you probably don't want, cannot afford, and for most people is not subsidized. They're telling you how you have to spend your money, how you have to spend your money. As far as I'm concerned, that's un-American. That's unprecedented. It's un-American. And most American people deeply, deeply resent that. Deeply resent it. We've had a bunch of busybodies, ruling elite, the Democratic Party. And I need to remind you, all the Republicans voted against this. This was shoved down the throat of the American people. And the American people are spitting it back up. Spitting it back up. And as more and more Americans learn in the coming months what this is all about, instead of roughly for every one that thinks Obamacare is a good idea, right now you have two people that thinks it's a bad idea. Pretty quickly, it'll be 3-1. And that's when you're going to get Obamacare repealed. It'll probably be after the 2016 elections. But don't blame it on the Republican Party. Blame it on the Democratic Party that are responsible for this mess, that are responsible for this train wreck, that are responsible for this towering inferno, this disaster. It's not ready for prime time. And it will collapse under its own weight. Because if the young people refuse to buy it, what's going to happen? The money that the insurance companies were accounting on is not there. Yet they have insured people with pre-existing conditions. What does that mean? Then you're going to get a rate increase that's going to be dramatic. There's no free lunch. The insurance company's not charities. They're in it for the money. And if they're losing money due to having for two reasons, having to insure, they're forced to insure anyone with a pre-existing condition. What does that mean? The premium rates are going to go up, going up astronomically. And at that point, the howl, the outrage from the American people, you'll hear it across the country. So the ruling elite overreached, especially in the Democratic Party. They overreached. They bit off more than they could chew. And it's going to come back and haunt them. I really think, as a result, I want Obamacare to go into effect. Because what's going to happen? Millions more Americans are going to say, I didn't vote for this. I didn't know what this was about. I don't want this health insurance plan. I was perfectly happy where this is a disaster. I agree. It is a disaster. But that's exactly what you get when you elect a stealth socialist. And that's exactly what Barack Obama is. What the Democratic Party leadership, as well as Barack Obama, truly want is single payer, where you have no option, where you're forced to go to the government. So if you think this Obamacare is bad, wait till you have single payer. Now, there's a problem with that. Come the 2014 election, if Obamacare goes into effect, and I believe it will be, because I'm following where we're standing, in terms of the legislation, in terms of the continuing resolution. Obamacare is going to go into effect, starting it is in effect. You know, Obama was on, it's the law of the land. It was passed. Well, yes, it was. It's passed until the Republicans capture the Senate and the White House, and then it's going to be repealed, it's going to be defunded, and it's going to be put on the scrap pile of history. It's legacy, folks. It's like the horse-drawn carriage. This is socialized medicine straight out of the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. It hasn't worked. It's been a disaster where it's been tried. And the American people will reject it out of hand. They didn't have a say on it. They didn't vote for this. They didn't. No one asked me. No one asked my friends, relatives, whatever. Because if they had, I would say, hell no. How dare you tell me how I have to spend my money? How dare you tell me what I have to buy? First of all, it's none of your business. It's none of your business how I spend my money. I'll buy what I really think I can afford and what I want to buy. Get out of my life. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. And that's the majority of the American people. And I need to say this. Liberals, which are progressives, whichever they prefer to be called, make up approximately 15 to 20% of the American electorate. And that number is very, very good. Over years, it bounces around, but it's typically between 15 and 20%. They are a small minority. Conservatives, these are people that identify as conservatives, the number is between 35% and 40%. Again, it's been a little higher, but it generally falls in that range. It generally falls about right in the middle of that range. And then you have so-called moderates, the same number, between 35 and 40%. The majority of Americans are conservative and moderates. And that's the reason, ultimately, Obamacare will be repealed. The American people don't want Obamacare. Many of them can't afford it. And the negative consequences of Obamacare has been high unemployment. Over 7% since the very day Obama's been elected. Normally, it's between 3 and 5%, ladies and gentlemen, not over 7%. This is the longest period of high unemployment rates since the Great Depression. That's how far back you have to go to get numbers worse than the current ones. This is the worst recovery since the end of World War II. Actually, it's the worst recovery since the Great Depression. And one of the reasons, not the entire reason, but one of the reasons is the passing of this law by the Democratic Party that not one single Republican voted for. Yeah, they got it passed. Most of them had never read the bill. They don't know what's in it. And a lot of it was written quickly and has a lot of stuff that shouldn't have been in it. And the unions are screaming about this. They want to be exempt from it. Because why? Because they've negotiated for their members with the management of the companies that they're negotiating with much better plans. They don't want any of these metal plans. They want to be exempt from it. Good luck. So the unions are happy, unhappy, the leadership. You better believe the union membership is unhappy. And the American people will be increasingly unhappy. The vast majority of the American people don't want Obamacare. That is the fact, the undeniable fact. The liberals that are a minority in this country, or the progressive, whichever, they tend to want to be called today progressives. I don't care. You can call yourself anything you want. Progressive, socialist, communist, liberal. You generally want the same things, which is socialized medicine. That's what this is heading towards. And you've been being rejected by the American people. Yeah, you got lucky in 2006 and 2008, but your luck is running out. You see, if the Democratic Party were smart, what happened was this. Bring it up to date. Last Friday, after the cloture vote, what the Senate passed was their own version of the continuing resolution that funded the government, including Obamacare. In other words, it stripped out the amendment that would defund Obamacare. Fully anticipated that. And then what happened early Saturday morning is the House of Representatives responded by passing another continuing resolution that would do two primary things, actually three. One, they would fund the government. I need to say that. They would fund the government. In other words, no government shutdown. And they would delay the enactment of Obamacare for 1 year. 1 year. In other words, the Obamacare law would not go into effect until 1 January of 2015. Now, let me tell you what my fear was. And it also included making sure that people in the armed forces would be paid. That part of it was passed and is on the way to the president. Good news. Both Democrats and Republicans were for it. The president signed it. It's my understanding. So, to make it real simple, what the House did was pass the continuing resolution that did two things. It funded the government through December 15th. Remember, it's a continuing resolution. It's not a budget. It just says we will continue funding at existing levels the federal government through December 15th. Remember, the Democrats only wanted to do it through November 15th. But anyway, that's what the House passed, and we would delay Obamacare for 1 year. Now, my fear was, and that was the right thing to do. That was the right thing to do. Remember, their initial position was to defund Obamacare. They're not defunding it. They're delaying it. Now, my fear was that the Senate, controlled by the Democrats, would agree to it because that was the smart political and economic thing to do. Now, why do I say that? Obamacare is not ready to be rolled out. It isn't. And that's from Democratic senators as well as congressmen. It's not ready, folks. And when something's not ready, it's a bad idea to roll it out. Software that needs to support these plans and these exchanges, it's not ready. The government bit off too much, and they're behind. They need a year to get the kinks out. And if they were smart, they should have went for it. Why do I say that? What's happening in November of 2014? There's an election. So a delaying Obamacare would really be considered by many people as a tax decrease or a tax cut. But no, these arrogant, overreaching Democrats in the Senate decided, no, 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 no. We're going to send our continuing resolution back. We will not agree to a delay in Obamacare. Now, politically, that's, as far as I'm concerned, the Democratic Party has committed suicide. Why do I say that? This is going to push the economy into another recession, the Obama recession. And the last thing the president or anyone of his party wants in an election year is the economy to be in a recession, and it will be. This will push the economy into a recession, which means zero growth, negative growth. Mark my words, it will happen. And it'll probably hit in the months leading up to the recession. What does that mean? You have a lot more unemployed. You already have a lot of people unemployed or underemployed. But then you're going to have a lot more people unemployed. And you're going to have a lot of people really mad, annoyed, aggravated, outraged that they lost their good health insurance plan that they liked and were satisfied with. And now they got a piece of junk that's more expensive and has less coverage. And you're going to have individuals, including the young, waking up to the fact that they've been had. They've been sold a bill of goods. In other words, Obamacare was sold as a big lie. It's going to save you $2,500 a year. You're going to be able to keep the same plan. And you're going to keep the same doctor. Lie, lie, and lie. That's exactly the perception. And the American people are going to say, what political party is responsible for this? It's the Democratic Party. What president is responsible? It's called Obamacare. Don't blame the Republicans. They had nothing to do with it. They didn't vote for this. It's only Democrats at the last minute in December of 2009 that forced this legislation through. And I'm not going to get into details as to how that was done. Ultimately, it became law. The president signed it. He owns it, folks. That's his disaster. That's his train wreck. And I'm applauding. If the Democratic Party wants to commit political suicide, here's the knife. Cut your throat. I could care less. Now, I'll tell you who I care about. I care about the unemployed Americans that are going to be hurt by this. I care about the people that have lost their insurance. I care about what it's going to do to families. The budget is already tight. They're struggling and are forced to buy a plan that they really can't afford and they really don't like. And that's where we're at. Ted Cruz was absolutely right with what he was saying. And he's a hero amongst the American people. He is not a hero amongst the ruling elite in Washington, especially the Democrats, but also amongst the turncoat Republicans, those 25 Republican senators that voted for cloture. They all should be primaried. They all should be voted out of office. And I hope they're taken on. Now, I'm realistic. It's very difficult to defeat an incumbent senator because when you're running for a statewide race, especially in Texas, it's very expensive to run that race. So the advantage is always going to be to the incumbent. I'm not happy with what Republican Senator Cornyn did. I hope he's primaried. But I'm realistic. I'm realistic. Someone has to have an awful lot of money to go up against him. That's the challenge. And someone with a certain amount of stature, a certain amount of money, needs to do it. It's not going to be easy. I think it's doable, though, because I listen to a lot of talk radio. And let me just tell you something. Why our junior senator is a hero, our senior senator has lost a lot of credibility. And he was one of the 25 that voted with the leadership, including Mitch McConnell, senior senator from Kentucky. See, what needs to happen is the so-called ruling elite, both the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party, needs to be taken out in the sense of voted out of office. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. That the Democratic Party has already committed suicide. They probably don't understand that because they're very arrogant. They're in deep denial. They're disconnected with the will of the American people. They're not listening. That was one of the other things that Ted Cruz kept on saying. We're not listening to our own constituents. We don't even want to meet them in town halls. And what the Democratic Party is calling people in the Tea Party anarchist, arsonist. No, all the Tea Party wants to do is repeal Obamacare, but more importantly, control spending by balancing the budget. That's not extreme. That's not radical. That's common sense. That's the prudent thing to do. That's the financial responsible thing to do. And that's what we're up against. We're up against a small minority of radical leftist, liberal, progressive Democrats that, again, their voting base is somewhere between 15% and 20%. The only way they can get elected is to get about 30% of the moderates. Remember, the moderates make up somewhere between 30 and 40%. On average, about 37%. So they need to get the lion's share of the moderates to vote with them. And the only way that they can accomplish that is lie. Lie, lie, and lie. Misrepresent, mislead, distort, distract, lie. Because if they had to tell the truth, they couldn't get elected. And who's helping them with their lies? It's the mainstream media. It's the three major television networks. That's who the Tea Party Republicans, the conservative Republicans, the libertarian Republicans, as well as the independents are up against. I'm an independent. I consider myself part of both the Tea Party movement as well as the conservative movement, but my political philosophy is classical liberalism. I believe in limited government. That is not what we have in Washington today. Both political parties are addicted. They're addicted to spending. They have what I call spending addiction disorder. And what's the indications of that? 5 years of deficits, on averaging more than $1.1 trillion, resulting in additional debt of over $5.5 trillion. Really, it's probably closer to $6 trillion over 5 years. That's unbalanced. That's fiscal insanity. That is the overreach of the Democratic Party. And the American people know it, and they're revolting about it. And it's going to have consequences not only for the 2014 election, but also for the 2016 election. Because the American people have had it with the Washington ruling elite of both parties not listening to what they want. What they want is a balanced budget. What they want is to be left alone. What they want is to keep the plans that they have, health insurance plans. And the Democratic Party is completely disconnected and denying that. And Mr. President, you're disconnected. Nobody last November voted for your Obamacare. Nobody did. Nobody, let me say this, nobody in his right mind would have. And now as more Americans wake up to the fact that they're not going to be able to keep their doctor, they're not going to be able to keep their plan, and they're going to have to spend a lot more money, both in premium and deductibles, to get a plan that's probably less in terms of the benefit, they're mad. And they have a right to be mad. And they're seeing their children and grandchildren can't get a job. And saddled with debt of thousands of dollars, they went to college, they worked hard, they did the right thing, and when they graduate from college, they learn there's no job openings. They're going to have to sit it out years because the unemployment rate is so high. And you have experienced people that they have to compete with, and they're looking for their first jobs and can't find it. So you're going to have massive unrest of the American people. You're seeing right now the start of a rejuvenation of the Tea Party movement, as well as the conservative movement and independence. Now, I am hoping at some future date, in a not too distant future, that we have a viable third party. Call it the Independent Party, for lack of a better word. These are people that are totally disgusted with the Democratic Party. They're beyond the pale. There's no way. They are so far left of the American people that independents no longer want anything to do with the Democratic Party. And that's not an exaggeration. That's reality. And there are many Republicans that have had it with the Republican Party. Because when they were in power, when George Bush was president, and they controlled the House and the Senate, they went on a spending binge as well, including wars. And I thought it was bad then. It's several order of magnitudes worse under the years of Obama. And it really was before that. Because remember, in 2006, the Democratic Party took control of the House and the Senate. So starting with the fiscal 2007 budget onwards, through 2010, the Democratic Party spent money. They had a big-time habit, spending addiction disorder. And we've seen the sad results of that. That's why I call it sad. Spending addiction disorder, sad. And it is sad. Because who does it hurt? It hurts your children, your grandchildren, your great children. We are burdening future generations with this large debt burden as well as the unfunded liabilities, which are over $100 trillion for Social Security and Medicare. So if you add the unfunded liabilities to what the national debt will be, and will be very soon over $17 trillion, that's the gross. That includes not only what the public owns, but also intergovernment debt. That's the gross debt, over $17 trillion. When the real GDP will be somewhere between $16 trillion and $17 trillion this year. See the problem? We're at over 100%. Debt is up more than 100% of real gross domestic product. We're on the low end of what happened to Greece. And there are other countries that are worse than us, but we're in bad shape because historically it's been under, well, it's definitely been under 70. In terms of gross, it's been in the 70s, 60s, 50s, even 40s. It's gotten out of hand. We have a government that's out of control. They are addicted to spending, and we've had unbalanced budgets year after year after year. But what's unique this time is the sheer magnitude of it. We'll be spending, ballpark figure, right around $3.5 trillion through midnight. In other words, from 1 October of 2012 through September 30th, midnight tonight, the federal government will have spent approximately $3.5 trillion. That's a lot of money, folks. A lot of money. A lot of money, no matter which way you look at it. Now, what's scary is all tax collections from all sources, individual, corporate, partnership, inheritance, all federal taxes combined, if you add them all together, it'll be about $2.6 trillion. In other words, we have the fifth year, and the fifth year, guess what? It's slightly under $1 trillion. Isn't that terrific? Let's all stand up and cheer. The deficit this year will be of around $900 billion. Yes, it's better than last year that it was over $1 trillion. It's certainly better than 2009 when it was $1.4 trillion. So the trend is some improvement. But what has the Democratic Party been pushing over those 5 years? They want more spending and more taxes. Not only do they have a bad habit, they want a worse habit. They want more spending. They want the federal government to grow. They want Obamacare, even though the American people have rejected it, despite the lies that the president keeps peddling. So the good news today, let me give you the bad news and the good news. I'll give you the bad news first. Obamacare will go into effect, and tomorrow the exchanges will be opened. Whether they're running or not is another issue. And starting 1 January, if you don't have coverage through your employer, you're going to have to buy your own on the exchanges or pay a penalty. That's the bad news, and it is bad news. You're going to be hit in your wallet. And many of you are not going to be getting subsidized. There won't be any free coverage. Disabuse yourself of that. Some of you, if you're real poor, might get a small subsidy or a small reimbursement for it. But you're still going to have to buy the coverage. And if you get a bronze plan, you're going to have to pay a $5,000 deductible. Yeah, they'll pay some of the small stuff. But the first 6,000 or 7,000, 5,000 of it you're going to have to pay for. You're going to have to pay for the monthly premiums. That'll probably be more than you're paying now, and you're going to have to pay the deductible of 5,000. I bet you're not very happy. I wouldn't be very happy. And I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I'm hearing a lot of calls from people that have gotten those letters from their insurance company that as of a certain date, we no longer will have this plan. And yes, we do sell some of these metal plans, and here is a comparable one, and they're finding out it cost them more money. And if they look at a plan that is comparable in terms of premium, they find the coverage is a lot less. So you're going to have more and more Americans dissatisfied with Obamacare. And also, that's the bad news, and more people will be unemployed. We're going to go into a recession. That's bad news. People are not going to be able to find jobs. We're going to have an Obama recession, partly or largely caused by the insistence of the President of the United States and the Democratic Party to instead of delaying Obamacare for 1 year, they're insisting on its start 1 January. That's what they want. You don't want it, but that's what they want. They're a small minority, liberals and progressive, less than 20% of the American electorate. They're shoving it down your throat. And what they basically said, until you control the House, until the Republican Party controls the House, which they do, and until the Republican Party controls the Senate, until the Republican Party controls the presidency, tough luck. You're going to either obey or pay a penalty. They don't care about you and me. They don't really care about the common man here, despite their everything they say. Because if they truly cared about you, they would have went for the delay. They didn't do it. They said, by God, we know what's right, and you will do what we say. Obey. Pay the penalty or pay the premium, but you will buy what we say you should buy. There will be a revolt of the American people. It's already happening, and it's going to grow and grow and grow. So that's the good news. The good news is, come November of 2014, I'm predicting that the Senate will be taken over by the Republican Party. And the majority that the Republicans have in the House of Representatives today will grow larger. And the good news is, many of those people will be coming out of the Tea Party movement that agree with what Ted Cruz said. And I'm hoping for new leadership of the Republican Party. Remember, many of the leaders today in the Republican Party were the same people that were responsible for those deficits when George Bush was president. Because they went on a spending spree as well. Both political parties are guilty of this. The one party that's massively guilty of this is the Democratic Party. You can't argue with those numbers. If you don't believe me, just go to the monthly Treasury statement called the MTS and look at what the government spends each month and what it takes in and what the total deficit is at the end of each year. You know, they write the checks. They know how much we're spending. That's what's hidden. That's not what's never discussed. Is year in, year out, without fail, we don't have a balance. We don't have a budget. We certainly don't have a balanced budget. All they're arguing about right now, both Republicans and Democrats, is a continuing resolution that keeps funding the government, keeps the government open, but funds it at existing levels, that $3.5 trillion. There is no budget. Yes, the Republicans have passed budget after budget after budget. I'm not blaming the Republicans for that. But the Senate is simply incapable of coming to a budget that's anywhere close to the Republicans. And see, I'm not happy with the Republican budget nor the Democratic budget. But we don't have one that's mutually agreed to by both political parties. We don't have a budget. Yeah, the president proposes a budget. The Senate proposes a budget. The House proposes a budget. And the House passes a budget. The Senate passes a budget. But there's no agreement. There's no mutual agreement. So there isn't a budget. You know, there's supposed to be a budget for fiscal year 2014 as of tomorrow. We haven't had one for 17 years. 17 years. Both parties are the problem. Both parties suffer from SAD, spending addiction disorder. Now, the only good news is I firmly believe that Barack Obama is the grave digger of progressivism or liberalism. He's digging their party's grave. And I'll help him dig it. I'll help him dig it. I'll also help him throw him in, because that's where we're at. He can get on the television and use the bully pulpit and be supported by his friend in the media to mislead, confuse, distort the situation. And that's what he's doing. He's making statements that the United States is going to default on its debt. Totally and completely untrue. And I went over it the last show, but I'll say a minute. Every month, the federal government gets approximately $200 billion in tax revenue. Every month, without fail. Sometimes it's higher, much higher. Sometimes it's lower. But on average, around $200 billion. Remember, I said I think the tax revenues for the fiscal year that ended will probably be about 2.6. But at 200 billion times 12 is 2.4 trillion. That's what we get. Why is that important? The United States interest total for a fiscal year is, it's a range, and I don't know the exact number, but it's somewhere between approximately 260 billion to a little over 300 billion. So you divide that by 12, and guess what? We have more than enough tax money coming in to pay the interest on the debt, probably 6, 7, maybe even 8 times. So there's no way the United States would default. They would be committing suicide to do that. And believe me, the people in the know financially on Wall Street and the banks, economists, no, it's nonsense. But why, I always say, well, why is he emphasizing? He knows he's wrong. He is lying to you. The United States is not going to default. That is the absolute last thing they will do. They will pay the interest first. They have more than enough money every month to pay the interest. Default means you don't pay the interest on your debt. The Treasury Department is not going to do that. They are definitely going to pay the interest on the debt. They are going to pay the principal that comes due and just roll it over. So a default is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not even close to a default. Could we, if we continue doing this, ultimately default? Yes, you better believe it. And that's why I think he's raising this. He is really confusing people. He's getting people on Wall Street upset because they know it's a lie. It's just another lie. The guy is an habitual liar. He's an incompetent in terms of his economic policies as well as his foreign policies. He's way over his head. He's in deep denial. He's overreaching. And he lies every day to the American people. And this is just another one of them. The United States is running the risk of defaulting on its debt. No, it's not. Cut the nonsense. No one in his right mind that follows this would ever make a statement like that. And I don't think he's misinformed. He's providing disinformation and to the American. He's trying to scare you. And he's going to scare you about the government is going to be shut down. My answer is shut it down. Keep it shut down for a year. We'll save a lot of money. Keep the non-essential people home. Don't pay them. I need to make a correction from the last show. Non-essential people in the government that stay home, that's typically 40 to 50% of the government, don't get paid. Great. Now, who does get paid? The essential employees that come to work get paid, but some of them have to wait until the continuing resolution is passed. So as far as I'm concerned, shut the government down and keep it shut down for a year. That's one way to balance the budget, because that'll be over a million people staying home. That's a million salaries. There's a million salaries and hourly wages of government employees that won't be paid. That'll get the budget a lot closer to being balanced. You see, the Americans are more concerned about the Internet being closed down than the government. Why? I don't interact with the government. The only thing I'm concerned about is, hey, do I get my Social Security check? And yes, you will. They go out. They know if they stop that, they will definitely lose the election in November. So they'll try to scare you. Oh, you won't get your Social Security check. Oh, you won't get your Medicare check. We won't pay the soldiers. Nonsense. What happens when the government shuts down, and it's happened many, many times in the past, is the so-called non-essential employees are told, and they're being told right now or tomorrow, go home and stay home until you get a call to come back. And that probably will happen. And I'm glad it's happening. I'm not panicking. Now, the president of the Democrat Party, they're panicking. They are panicking. But they're just playing a game. What they're really trying to do is blame the shutdown on the Republican Party. And what did I just say in this program? Three times the Republicans in the House of Representatives, and that's what they control, have passed continuing resolutions that would keep the government open. Three times. And many, many times they've passed budgets. It's not the Republican Party to be blamed. It is the Democratic Party, and it's insistent on starting Obamacare this year. That's the central issue. Because they also agree with the continuing resolutions at existing spending levels. They won't, if they could and had the votes, they'd really want to increase it. So it would have another 5 years of trillion-dollar deficit. But they don't have the votes. Thank God they don't have the votes. So the best we can hope for right now is that we keep federal spending at the level it's been. Now I have to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are mine own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening to the Pronk Pop Show. Have a good afternoon. Do your homework if you're a student. And now, back to the music.